الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. Previously we were discussing about the lifestyle of a Muslim, his culture. With regard to that, in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. And تَرْكَنُوا, the tafsir of it has come is مَيْلَ يَسِير, a slight inclination also. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan al-Nadawi was a master of the Arabic language. He has explained this, that even from your heart do not incline to the ways of the non-believers. So this is also a thing which unfortunately has become very, very common, and today it is fashion to follow the fashion of the non-believers. Their brand names, their lifestyle, their sports, everything is done how they set the standards. And we follow like blind sheep in whatever they do, everything. So this is also a very serious condition. One person, a pious person, Buzurg, in India, while traveling by train, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written this, and during the holy celebrations of the Hindus, when they paint everything red, and they color everything red, it is some celebration of theirs. So this Buzurg, while traveling, was eating paan, and the spit that forms from that is also red. So there was a donkey, and he spat on the donkey, and he said that nobody has painted you red, colored you red, so let me color you red, play that holy. Then when he saw in his dream that you want to be like them, you will be with them. Just for that little, and didn't mean it seriously from his heart or as a religious devotion or anything, but just that little bit also. So this is a serious thing to incline towards the non-believers in anything. What are their religious things? That is out of the question, that we incline to anything of their religious things, whatever they do on their religious functions, etc., and we copy it in our religious functions. For example, their Christmas lights they put, and we, for any of our occasion, we also decorate our masjids or whatever with lights, etc. Anything what they do, so that also, that is very serious, their religious matters. And even just their day-to-day Muslims, so much so that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his reign of Khilafat, he had established the Hijri calendar, and he said that we are a complete separate nation, and everything of ours, we must be totally independent and have everything of ours. Then he established the Hijri calendar, taking mashura from all the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, etc., that how should we, from where should we start our calendar. And there were various suggestions. From the birth of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the time of the revelation of the Quran Sharif, various, but they finally settled for Hijrat, from the time of Hijrat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So our calendar starts from there, from the Hijrat, and it is known as the Hijri calendar. Between Muslims and non-Muslims, it is known as the Hijri calendar. And one great wisdom in that from Allah Ta'ala is that whenever our new year starts in Muharram, then we should be reminded of the Hijrat. And Hijrat, one is the Hijrat, the technical Hijrat, migrating from Darul Kufr to Darul Islam. And whenever a person is in such a place where he cannot practice his deen in any country, any place, then today also it is compulsory for him to make Hijrat from there and go and live in such a country, such a place, where he can practice his deen. And the other, it comes in the hadith, Al-Muhajir man hajara ma nahallahu an. That a real muhajir is he who migrates from all those things Allah has forbidden him from. from all his sins, his gunas, he must make hijrat from them. So whenever our new year starts, we should be reminded that we should make hijrat from our past life, like the past year we left, we came in the new year. Like that, we must leave our past life of sin, of unmindfulness, etc., and go into the new year of more greater obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And every person according to his level. A person who is deeply engrossed in sin must give up all that sin. A person who is normally pious is observing the commands of Allah Ta'ala, but there is no end and there is no shore for righteousness. So he also has to progress further all the time. So we should be reminded about that. So this Hijri calendar is also very, very important. We had mentioned that when Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was coming to our country in Shaban during the Jalsa times, and we had intended to invite Hazrat, we wrote letters from our Darul Ulooms. Then in one other Darul Ulooms letter, where they only had the English date on their letter, Maulana drew a line, an arrow there, and he said that this is a Darul Ulum, and we are teaching our deen, and we're not using the Hijri calendar. The ulama and the ulama of a Darul Ulum are not using the Hijri calendar, then who can we expect to use it? And then also he wrote, and it is my opinion, he says, he wrote that if you would have written the Hijri calendar, you would have date, you have put it under the Gregorian, under the English date. And this speaks volume of our attitude, that what we give preference to. And Hadrat was very, very humble. The people who only knew Hadrat superficially, they took him to be a very hard person, very strict person. At the end of the letters, he wrote that if I have erred, then correct me. And if it is correct, then follow suit, make amal on it. So to use the Islamic calendar, today it is very, very common. You ask any student that when did you graduate, only the English date he'll give. The year he graduated, the English date, the Islamic date, and if you have to, and this is such a serious matter that one good alim of our country, once we were talking and some discussion, so he asked me about some dates, so I gave him the Islamic date, so he was all mixed up. So he told me, how, what, so I told him it's an Islamic date. He couldn't still access it. Then he told me, please, I know it's my weakness, tell me the English date. I won't be able to reconcile it with the Islamic date. This is our condition. One friend of ours with whom we had studied in Deoband, and he was the most brightest student, perhaps he used to come out first, I can't remember, but mostly Ibarat he used to read. He was so intelligent, so clever. After a number of years, perhaps 30, 35 years, he came here for some collection. He's a very big businessman. He's got a construction company in Bombay, and he was collecting for another madrasa of another friend of ours who was also with us. So he came, we were talking, and then I gave him also something for towards the cause. Then he was making out the receipt, and he asked me the date. I gave him the Islamic date. He got also all mixed up. He just couldn't understand. Then afterwards, he wrote down the date. Then I think it was Rabiul Awwal, which is the third month. So he asked me which month, what number month is it? He couldn't. Then he couldn't work it out also, that it's the first month or the second month or the third month. Because he didn't want to write in full Rabiul Awwal. He just wanted to write which month it is. And then he put his pen down, and with great sorrow he told me, Maulana, what must I tell you? That you know, I used to read Ibarat every day. I was the brightest student in Dora. But he says, my condition has become such with the construction company and involved in dunya that I have even forgotten the names of the Islamic month. That is Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awwal. That also I have forgotten. Forget which means the first month and second month, the third month. So this is how when we get so involved and we completely forget our identity. And to know our identity is extremely to know who we are. Just as an example, a shepherd, a hunter, went and he caught a cub, the baby of a lion. He brought it home and it grew, he made it grow up with the sheep. Over a period of time, it started bleating like a sheep also, like the sheep. And it was eating grass, a lion, that is a meat eater. And he forgot that he is a meat eater, and he was eating grass, eh? Like a lion, like a Muslim, ghost cow, or meat eater. And like a banya, started eating grass, vegetables all the time. Eh? He forgot who he was. One day a real lion of the jungle came, and he saw my brother is very sick. He's here and he's with all the sheep and he's not eating them. He's got no appetite. A lion, if he sees meat, he has to eat. If he doesn't eat, he's sick. He hasn't got appetite. And if you haven't got appetite, you're a very sick person. So he told him, my brother. So he immediately told him, I'm not your brother. These are my brothers. He forgot his identity, who he belongs to also. Then he saw he's extremely ill and he needs ICU treatment. So he told him, you'll have to come with me and I'll have to take you down to the river. There I have to put you in the ICU. When he took him there and he made him look in the water and he asked him, who do you look like? Do you look like me or do you look like that stupid sheep there? So he said, no, I look like you. He said, yes, you're my brother, but you forgot you're my brother. You forgot who you are. Then that lion of the jungle roared, like a lion roars, and he told him, you try. And he was a lion, and it was in him, it was recorded in him, his roar. He forgot his language also. So when he tried, and the roar came out, now when he realized who he is, will any of that sheep be left after this? Now his appetite, he's got his treatment, and he'll have his appetite. He'll eat a few for breakfast, another few for lunch, and there won't be any left for supper. He'll finish them all up, that he realizes who he is. So just like that, we are also the lions of Allah Ta'ala. A mu'min is a lion of Allah Ta'ala. But living with the non-believers, we have forgotten our identity also. Today we have forgotten our language also. Our language, whatever our languages are, that we also forgot. We forgot our language of Iman also. That our success is in Iman on Allah Ta'ala, on the sifat of Iman. It is in Amal. Our success is measured not in dunya, in Akhirat. That how much have deen have we got? How much have we prepared for Akhirat? Our success is not measured how many bank accounts I got and what my bank balances are and how many investments I got. Our is that how much have I sent for Akhirat and how much fear have I got whether it is accepted or not. But today we measure ourselves that I got so many, my balance sheet shows up so much, so many investments, so many properties, so much my bank accounts I've got, so many businesses. I drive this kind car, I wear this kind clothes, I go twice a year for holiday, and the holiday places also, that also is important now. It has to be a very elite place. All those things, though, we measure our success with all those things. Not with that how much deen have we got, how much khidmat of deen, how much of piety, how much of taqwa. If any person speaks of that in any gathering, in any place, a wedding function or anywhere, he has put cold water on the whole conversation. If he speaks and asks about deen, etc., so much so that even if we go for Hajj and Umrah, then there also we are measured by in which hotel we stayed. That is how we are measured. If we didn't stay in any elite holiday, then that hotel, then that Umrah of ours also, or Hajj also, it hasn't got value. It's only got value when we stayed in some elite hotel, etc. And then our shopping, what we did, how much of gold, jewelry, etc. we bought. By that we are measured. So we have forgotten our language also. And we have forgotten our identity also. That who we are. We are Muslims. We are mu'mineen. The ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But today, living with all non-Muslims, their culture, their way of life, everything has permeated everything of ours. So much so, alhamdulillah, a great change has come, but still very far from it. Even our religious bodies, whether it's madrasas or masjids, our meetings are also held according to Western system. How they have their meeting, whether there's a quorum, whether there's the voting that is done, a person is seconded, etc. All those things, according to mashura, sunnat way of mashura, even our religious bodies are not run according to sunnat tariqah. That also we run, our religious bodies. Then what about our homes? What about our businesses, etc.? So we have forgotten. Today, if one lion can come, and he a real lion, like Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Kandelvi rahmatullah alayh, he said with a very sore heart just before he passed away, if I can have 313 people of Iman, I'll turn the world upside down. But today we hardly have, how many have we got? Our Shaykh Damat Barakatuhum, when he suffered his stroke, after that he said, my stroke, my illness is not this physical illness, that what I want my murids to become, what I want them to be, I don't see them becoming that. What I want them to become. So this is that we have to become men like that. That real lions of the jungle. One is a lion which is in a storybook, in a picture. That the children, for example, in nursery, etc., they are told to color in the lion. They color it in, and children are playful, then they cut off the tail, or they cut off the ear. What can that lion do? It's just a picture. It can't do anything. One is a lion that is in a zoo. That lion is a real lion, but it is in a cage. It can't do anything. Children there also, though there are boards written also, don't throw stones, don't poke sticks, but the children will do that, and they'll show how brave they are. That I threw a stone at a lion, and I took a stick and I poked it at the lion. The poor lion is in a cage, what can it do? But then also, a lion will still show its condition. One alim visited a lion, whatever, where they breed them and nurture them in one place. He was with his wife, and that lion became very upset, the lioness. She couldn't do anything, she was in a cage. But what she did, she lied down on her side and urinated, and with a force it came out on that poor Maulana's wife. She was completely covered. So she showed what she could do. I can't do anything else, so much I can do. So a lion is a lion. So that is in a cage, and one is a lion in a jungle. Interfere with that lion. One person in one of the game reserves in Central Africa was taking a snap of a lion, and he didn't realize that lion leaped at him and took off his whole head. What was he going to take a snap of the lion? In another place in Chipata, there are also game reserves there. Some people who went and see they went to the game reserve, and they came to a place where the lions had made a kill. And the whole lion family, extended family, 10, 15 of them, lion, lioness, the children, all they were going to eat now. And there were about 10, 12 cars parked around to see the whole thing. And people were taking snaps, making videos, etc. One bright spark thought that he will take a stone and throw it at those lions. He threw it, and the lion then stood up, looked towards the cars, and gave one roar. Only the roar, nothing else. And the people who had cameras in their hands, the cameras fell down. A person whose hands was on the steering, the hands fell down. On the legs became lame. The legs that were on the pedals, etc. It just became lame, just with that one roar of a lion. And our Sheikh Damat Barakatuhum, when he came to South Africa and he visited the Kruger National Park, he said, I'm not going to see the lions or the animals, I'm going to see the creator of the animals. That when a lion's roar is like that, and tilawat of Quran Sharif has to be also in that strain. Like for example the ayat, Limanil Mulkul Yom, there to read it in a very soft, beautiful, melodious tone. Beautiful, beautiful reading of the Quran is there to read it in either two ways, that how Allah will ask, Walimanil Mulkul Yom. Like that a person feels that on Qiyamah's day Allah will ask, then nobody will be able to speak. When a roar of a lion has this, when Allah's When Allah will speak like that, what will it be? Or what complete a person's voice goes down, that what fear there will be when Allah will ask, Limanil Mulkul Yom, that for who is sovereignty today? Khudu, Faghullu, Thummal Jahima, Faswallu. When these orders will be given, that effect comes on the heart. So that is the proper tilawat. So anyway, so we have to take a lesson from here, that if today we are lions, the vast majority of the Muslims, we are picture lions, we only picture Muslims. Therefore the kuffar just do with us what they want to, whether it is the drinkers of the urine of the cows, they control us, or the drinkers of the urine of swine and the drinkers of wine, the eaters of swine and the drinkers of wine, they are controlling us today. Whereas a mu'min, he was created to control the world. One mu'min, one lion. What are 60,000 sheep, 100,000 sheep in front of one lion? What can the sheep do? But if we were lions, real lions, we are picture lions. So therefore, how they handling us, just read the reports of what tortures in Afghanistan, in Iraq, what and what has been done, and what carries on all the time. But we can do nothing. Also, if we consider now Ramzan month, how lot Quran Sharif khatams in the world, and each Quran Sharif khatam, what duas will be made in the whole world, in the Haram of Mecca, in the Haram of Medina, there 2 million, 1.5 million, 2.5 million people, and what are the duas of the Imam on that night, and with what effect? And what ameens come out from 2.5 million people, but the condition of the ummah doesn't change. It's just there like a tape recording, it doesn't change. We have to consider what food we are eating. Once one haram but goes into the body for 40 days, du'as, ibadat is not accepted by Allah Ta'ala. What part of the body is formed from haram, it is only good for the fire of Jahannam. And today, with our food, what our condition is. So, what du'as are made, but our condition does not change. So, we, the Muslims today, we are picture lions. And a picture can't do anything. Then there are few lions, real lions, in the cage. Today, perhaps there isn't one Muslim. Maybe some in Saudi, where there are those people who are ashabi wara, the people of taqwa, the government allows them that no photos of theirs in their passport also. In the ID documents, the government allows them. But perhaps it's only in that for those people. Besides that, any person in the world, you want to go for hajj, you want to travel, you have to take your photo. If you are a living lion, but you still can't control anything. We are still under the ways of the kuffar. Whether we, for our banking, anything, currency, we have to follow their picture money, and all photos on the money, and we also have to, because we are, if you are a living lion, but you're still in a cage, and there aren't those lions of the jungle, those free lions that practice Islam, and they have no fear, like the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, أَأَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِي لِهَاُولَاءِ الْحُمَقَى. When Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I have got living men and they are dead people. Kafirs, the Quran said they are dead people. What are we afraid to fight 200,000 when the Muslims were so small in number, the Roman Empire so huge, but it meant nothing to them. They were just like not even living, they were dead people. Fighting dead people, what? They can be in the millions. And if you're one living person, what can the dead people do? But today, unfortunately, that is our condition. So this reality has to come. And to become a lion, forget a real lion. One person wanted a lion tattooed on his body, which is haram, of course, but it's just an example. So he went to the person who tattoos, and the person then started, and he pricked him. And he paints when the pen pricks, when they start tattooing. So he jumped. So he asked him, what's wrong? So he said, it's paining. So he said, what are you making? He said, I'm making the tail of the lion. So he said, it's too painful. You can't have a lion without a tail also. So he said, okay, we'll leave the tail out. So he pricked him again, and again he pained. Again he jumped. What's wrong? He says, what are you making? He said, I'm making the ear. He said, you can't have a lion with one ear. And then again he pricked him. No, then the other year he did, what lion you going to have? Today Fajr is too hard for us. So we can be Muslims without Fajr namaz also. We can be Muslims without Roza also. We can be Muslims without Parda also. Everything is too painful for us. So leave this also out, leave. So what Islam will there be? What kind of Muslims will we be? So that is our condition. We don't want to become a real lion. That little bit mujahada, just to get into the groove, we are not prepared to do that. If we do that and we become this real lion with a little bit of mujahada, and what is our main mujahada afterwards at the end? To fight the nafs. And the nafs is a thing that doesn't leave you. The desires and what your nafs, your eyes and your heart, what thoughts and what were things. To fight this, it's a little effort, but this we are not prepared to do. One person, newly married, he came home one day and he told his wife, newly married, that I've bought this trouser and it's a bit too long for me. Won't you shorten it for me? She said, can't you see I'm busy, my hands are full of flour, ghee, I'm making roti, I'm cooking, and your old mother is sitting there, she does nothing whole day besides shouting at me all the time. Tell her to do it, I'm so busy. So he said, okay, you don't want to do it. So he went to his mother, he asked her, mother, won't you? Old mother, she said, my son, whole life I'm doing your khidmat. Now you are married, your wife is here, she must do, why doesn't she do it? Okay, she also don't want to do it. He went to his sister, he told his sister. Sister also said same thing, I was doing everything for you all the time, you are married now, your wife must see, okay, you also. So he went and sleep, depressed, and he hung his trouser up, very depressed. His wife came and she said, my husband, first thing since we married, he asked me first favor, and I refused him, let me do it for him. So she took the trouser, she shortened it, she hung it up. Then the mother came, she said, my son does so much for me, he looks after me so well. Just to shorten the trouser, small thing, she took it and she shortened. Then this is, so what will be left of the short of the trouser? Not even a short trouser. Not even a nikah. There'll be nothing left. So today we also, that we haven't got time for Islam. We haven't got time for this. Cut this out, I haven't got time. I'm very busy in dunya. One person was traveling with his family, going for a joy ride, and whatever, listening nizam or music, whatever age of a person according to his way. And while he was traveling, at one of the traffic lights, somebody was asking for a lift. So he told him, I'm sorry, I've got my family here, all my wife, my children, no place for you. So he said, okay, if you got no place for me, no problem, but I'm Mr. Dollar. Oh, you Mr. Dollar, you VIP. So he told his wife, please, you go in the back seat, we can't leave Mr. Dollar alone. So he put Mr. Dollar in there. So they went front, next traffic light, another person asking for left. So he told him, impossible. See, I had to put my wife on the back seat. And my Mr. Dollar, I got a VIP. So he said, okay, if you got no place for me, no problem, but I'm Mr. Pound, double of dollar. So VVIP. So he said, please, wife, you go right at the back in the boot now. And Mr. Dollar, you go in the back seat. And put Mr. Pound here. Now they're carrying on, they come to the next traffic light, another person asking for left. So he told him, it's out of the question. Just see, I got Mr. VIP and Mr. VVIP, pound and dollar. My wife had to put right at the back. Say, okay, you got no time for me, no problem, but I'm Mr. Islam. I will help you wherever you are in dunya, in akhirat, at the time of mort. Everywhere I'll help you. He said, Mr. Islam, I love you very, very much. But please, in my life, I got no time. I'm so busy with dollar, pound, dunya, this investment, that investment, this property, this work, that work. I got no time for you. Please, you just stay in the masjid. 5 times a day, I'll come and visit you. But you don't come in my life, please. Ramzan, 30 days I'll stay with you. And I'll come to you there in Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. I'll be so sincere and faithful to you, but you don't come in my life. You just stay there. 40 days a year I'll go in Jamaat. I'll be with you 40 days, but you don't come in my life. There, while in Jamaat, we'll sit on the floor and eat. I'll do everything how you want me to. I'll dress how you want to. But in my life, in my holidays, you don't come. You don't come in my house and take out my TV from my house. You don't come and take out my video machine from my house. You stay in the masjid. And whenever like a jamaat comes or people sitting for itikaf, I'll bring food for you also. I'll even make your khidmat, but you don't come in my life. I've got no place for you in my life. I'm too busy. I've got pounds and dollars. I'm too busy. So he carries on. He comes to the next traffic light. Somebody else asking, he said, oh, I even had to leave Mr. Islam, my such a beloved friend, and how I love him from the bottom of my heart, and he's so dear to me, but I can't put him in my life. I couldn't put him in my life of my dunya, of my life. I can't put him in my car of my life. I'm sorry. So he said, okay, no problem, you haven't got place for me, but I got place for you. I'm Mr. Malakul Maut, and I got place for you. So his wife also shouted from the back and said, please take him quickly. Because of Mr. Dollar and Mr. Pound, he put me right in the boot. So you please take him. This is how our life is. We got no time for deen, and then Maud comes suddenly. Hangama hayat ko khamosh kar gaye. The Hazrat's one beautiful poem, that when Maud Qaza aake bahosh ko behosh kar gaye. Maut came, and those people who were fully in their senses, now just lying, they can't lift a limb, they can't do a thing. How the people going to give them ghusl will turn them, putting their kafan will turn them, they can't do a thing for themselves. Qaza aake bahosh ko behosh kar gaye, hangama hayat ko khamosh kar gaye. And all the entertainment and the shouting and of the world, this, that, get this ticket, bring the achar, bring the cold drink, bring this, do that. Everything finished quiet now. And now you're just lying there. So this is our condition. So that way of life of Islam we should bring into us. We shouldn't, for example, today it's also very, very common. وآخرون اعترفوا بذنوبهم وخلطوا عملا صالحا وآخر سيئا. We mixture. Nobody likes adultery. Adultery is one of the worst things. In everything, adultery is the worst thing. But we are adulterating our deen also. Good amal also, bad amal. We make sure we give our zakat also, but we are gone to the casinos also. Or we got haram income also. We make sure that our wives are in parda also, but at the same time, all that parda which is not parda, which is just the name of parda. Everything we do, we make sure we are there for fajr also, and we are five times namaz, and we don't miss one program of our TV also. If it does clash, we have it recorded, but we don't miss it. Everything we do, we mix a mixture, and where is that? Amali Saliha? What is that ayat? Gee, anyway, so this mixture, this adulterating is a very, very bad thing. And the worst of adulteration is, for example, we got the TV box there, which is haram. And on top of it, we got Ayatul Kursi, beautifully written. Or we got Asmaul Husna. This is a very serious, and this is the jadu that affects us. We don't have to go to any amils or anyone. We have to take out this dirt from our lives. And this mixture, if a person has got only dirt, that is not so bad as the mixture of it. Just to make you understand, these people who do jadu, etc., and the worst type of jadu, they are taught that they have to flush Yasin Sharif into the toilet pen. When they mix this filth, this pure thing with the dirt, that effect comes, and then they can do the terrible jadu. So this mixture of things, this is a very bad thing. That today munafaqat is very common. How many people today, truth is not valuable anymore. Values are not value. We have to make peace with everyone. Even if it is our worst enemy in deen also, they've got the worst ideas and the worst beliefs, but make peace with them. We must make peace. Today this interfaith, that we have to make peace with even the Jews and the Christians, that we are all one. We are all brothers and we are all sisters. Muslim-Hindu, bhai-bhai. That with Hindus and Muslims, we are all brothers also. So we make peace with everyone. Values don't have any value. peace has got. We must just be at peace with everyone. In all our functions, we will go to their functions, they will come to our functions. Even if it's just a show of showing your face, that's all. We will even embrace, while in the hearts there are daggers for one another. But just to keep the peace outwardly, at any cost, we have to keep the peace, sulh kul, to make peace with everyone. So this is a very dangerous situation. And with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, their criteria was deen, was the truth. Whether then Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum, or one of the, I think it was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum, he told his father or somebody, when he had the better of him in a battle, he said that because you were my son, I didn't do anything. He says, but if I had the better of you, though you were my father, I should have slaughtered you. So the criteria was not even blood relations. The criteria was not false values and false peace, but it was on true, on deen, their value. Today, unfortunately, that is almost totally gone out of us. And anyone who keeps values of truth, he is a black sheep. He is the worst person. He is a troublemaker. And that person who makes peace with everyone, that person is a good person. That person has got akhlaq. That person knows how to live in society, and he knows how to live with people. Many of our old ulama, they had bad reputations just because they maintained the truth. They wouldn't spare a person, they would speak the truth. And I'm speaking of our ulama here in South Africa, the older ulama. Many of them had a bad reputation. And those who were just with everyone mixing with the woman also, talking with them also, he's a very friendly, polite gentleman. He's got good akhlaq. When all the wrong things are done, and a person who maintains sharia is a person, he's abrupt, and he doesn't know how to speak. He doesn't know. So these are very important values that we have to instill in us. With regard to that, just one example to let us understand. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatuhum was in Nazimabad. It was a different suburb of Karachi. Now he's in Gulshan Iqbal. First he was in Nazimabad. When he was there, there are also majlises to take place. So one day, one person came from head to toe, 100% sunnat. Safa, kurta, everything, properly trouser above the ankles, everything. So when he came, and he had his walking stick also, and at the bottom of the walking stick, he had a nail also. A little piece of steel, a nail. So Hadrat asked him, why did you put this nail? So he said, sunnat, and it too is sunnat. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to have in their sticks a nail. So Hadrat explained to him, that was at that time when there wasn't tar roads, there wasn't concrete, cement, mud houses, floor was also made of mud, etc. So snakes used to come, rodents used to come, and scorpions, everything, so they needed it. It was their weapon to kill a snake, to kill these things, etc. Today it's not that condition. Today is different. Today in Karachi, you're going in the bus is full, people are hanging out from the bus, people are on the roof of the bus. And if you're going with this walking stick and getting on the bus, you're going to hurt somebody so terribly. So he became very angry. And he said, nobody follows sunnah today. Even the buzurgs don't follow. And he became more audacious. And he said, that time Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was living, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith also doesn't follow the sunnahs properly. That he eats in glass plates. And it's sunnah to eat in earthenware. So he became angry. And he got up and he walked out. Hazrat at that time told, this man is in great danger. Does God finish everything? After 2 years again, one person came in the majlis again. This time with English hat, three-piece suit, tie, everything like that. So Maulana Mazhar, Hazrat's son, he asked Hazrat, do you recognize this person? He said, no, it's the first time he's coming here. He said, there's that first, the same person. 2 years ago he came, and he was dressed like that. Today he's like this. So this, when we don't understand how to follow sunnahs, and one thing that, and the other thing is, when we criticize Ahlullah, then Allah's punishment comes in various forms. Allah gets a person involved in any type of guna. Allah takes away deen from a person. Allah, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. when we were reminded over and over of Allah's commandments, but they turned a deaf ear. Nasu, as if they just completely nasiyam mansiya, they had nothing to do with it. Then one punishment of Allah Ta'ala, fatahna alim abwaab kulli shay, we opened the doors of everything upon them. At one time you didn't have a phone in the town, and there was one time when there wasn't a phone in the town. Now every person has got 2-3 phones. So much so that he doesn't realize from his one phone, he's phoning himself on the other phone. And then when the other phone is ringing, he doesn't know, must I speak on this phone or must I speak answer that phone? And when he does answer, he doesn't know he's speaking to himself. So phones, cars, at one time, there wasn't a car in a town. Today, how many cars in one house? The whole family used to stay in one room, cooking, sleeping, it was the living room, everything. Today everyone has got his own room, plus there are still rooms extra also. So Allah opens all these things. And in that, a person becomes unmindful of Allah Ta'ala. That is one punishment of Allah. Hadraji Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi explained that what we call a ni'mat, there is detail in it. It is either a ni'mat or it is a niqmat. It is an azab of Allah. Whether your wealth and that, if it is used in fulfilling the commands of Allah Ta'ala, then it is ni'mat. But the same thing, your health, your wealth, if it is used to break the laws of Allah, then it is niqmat. It is not a ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. And Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, has explained that Allah's punishments come in two ways. One punishment is, like Allah made you crippled, you became paralyzed, blind, you lost a hand or something, that is a lighter punishment. And the heavier punishment is that you had bad health, now your health became very good. Your finances were very poor and low, now very good finances you got. That is a worse punishment. Because usually when you get some physical handicap, some problem, you were rich, you became poor, normally you turn more to Allah Ta'ala. You ask forgiveness and that. But when you get more money, your health has become better, then normally you go more into sin. So that is a worse punishment. And this person, outwardly it looks like he's enjoying life, and Allah takes him to task one time at mort. Just like when a mouse is in the house and it's disturbing the housewife, eating the potatoes, eating the tomatoes, all that. Now it went even more and it started eating the scarf of the housewife. Now she couldn't take it. So now what she does, she goes and buys fresh cheddar cheese. Or she makes fresh ghee rotis. And she buys a trap and she puts it on there. And she puts it right at the door, at the house, the hole of the mouse where it comes out. The mouse comes out, this housewife likes me so much. He's giving me ghee roti. And he's giving me cheddar cheese, fresh cheese, and right at my door. It's the things that it loves it so much. It is that ni'mat which outwardly like that. When it goes and snuffs and takes a little bite, nothing. Takes a little bigger bite. And there the trap comes down on it. And أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. They are lost in bewil. What happened? Kya ho gaya? Suddenly, what is this that the whole thing has turned around? So Allah Ta'ala's system, so we have to be afraid of Allah Ta'ala's punishment. So one is, إِذَا a Muslim is haram. And إِذَا a Wali of Allah Ta'ala, that is the worst. They are, to Hadhrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, two terrible sins which Allah does not spare any person, and two sins on which Allah has declared war. Allah has declared war. And on that person in this dunya, one is a person that hurts and who causes injury to the awliya. And the other person is the person who eats interest. On these two people, Allah Ta'ala has declared war on these people. And where Allah's war, and also warfare is different. One time warfare between India and Pakistan, from the Wagha border, the Indian army was coming in. The Pakistani army was there, but they laid a trap for them. They all disappeared into the woods, into the jungle. And that road of about 50, 60 or so kilometers or miles the army walked freely. And they announced that tomorrow we will be announcing from Radio Pakistan, from the radio station in Lahore, we have captured Pakistan. We are in full charge. When the army came in, then the Pakistani army came and trapped them from the back. And from the front, the army was there and sandwiched them. So sometimes Allah sandwiches us like this. And we think that things are going very well. And we forget all our gunas. And we think that I'm doing this. But Allah sandwiches us between two azabs. Azab, if we look in front also azab. We look at the back also azab. And we got nowhere to turn. So a person must fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So one is the awliya. And the other thing is that hurting the feelings, being critical, criticizing the ulama, the buzurgani deen, etc. And the other thing is that when we don't understand how to practice upon sunnah, that is very, very important, that practically in our time, the sunnahs which apply to us now and how, like for example, the love of the original sunnah must be there at all times. Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, once in the Ulama Bayan in Raiwind explained that till today, the love of the camel and the camel as a mode of transport, that must be still in my heart. That I wish I could be traveling today on a camel. But practically we know it won't be practical. If a person tries and would travel on a camel today, where is he going? How is he going to manage? That is the actual sunnah. But realize, so to know, one is the law by the book. And this is where Salafis have gone greatly wrong. And one is to know the essence and the object of the law. And that is so one is the sunnah according to the book. And one is sunnah according to the time. Like for example, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayhi has explained this point so beautifully, from where we can take so many lessons, that simplicity, al-bazazatu min al-iman. Simplicity is part of iman. But today, if we try and live the simplicity of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, we will destroy ourselves. Today our food, in the time of the Sahaba, they couldn't eat the food of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Conditions had changed already. And today if we try and eat the food that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one buzurg, one day came in Josh, and he gave an order to the khansama, to the cook, that you cook today the food exactly as it was cooked in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everyone had stomach problems. Then he said, we were commanded to be like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not to be Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today it won't, toilets, where are we going in the felt to observe, to go and make toilet, etc. There were no wuzu khanas in the masjid. The toilets were out of the question. This only came in the time of Imam Malik, rahmatullah alayhi. And that was also a facility only for musafirs, for travelers, that house people must do their toilet at home. Today if we don't have toilets in our masjids, we don't have wuzu khanas in the masjids, and our masjids go still in some of the areas, go into Malawi, go into Mozambique, and you try and make namaz in those masjids, what a mujahada it is. To go once and to say, how lot nuraniyat is good, but to live your life in that, then you will understand what nuraniyat you have got. Once in a while just to go and just passing by, and you know summer, no winter, everything, you just know it's one namaz, it's all right. Many people say Medina Sharif should be just as it was in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then who should go today? When today people have got problems in the 5-star hotels and they're fighting there all the time, if it should be like that, who should go? So Allah knows his system, and Allah knows. So to understand deen, the understanding of deen, one is ilm-e deen and one is fahm-e deen. Tafaqquh fi deen. This is a separate ni'mat on its own. And this can only be acquired from buzurgani deen. Like for example, medicine is one thing. Medicine books are something. But the application of it, that you can only get not from a new graduate doctor also. New graduate doctor will also send so many people to the grave. An old experienced doctor, you'll call him a horse doctor also. And when you go to him also, he hardly checks you up. But what medicine he gives you and what treatment he gives you, that this new graduates will never be able to give you that. So the same way in deen, and those people who are old, who are matured in deen, From them you will get proper deen. So that is very, very important. May Allah give us this proper understanding. One example, as far as our lifestyle and culture is concerned, there are two things. One is, and one time, this talk was given by Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib in the Khanqah of Hazrat Sheikh in Stanga also, and on other occasions also, and Malan Abdul Halim John Puri also. That one is, you have a person who practices on deen, tahajjud, everything, all his namaz, but his appearance is not Islamic. He wears suit, tie, and I know one person, he is now at the end, he changed very greatly, but before when he was younger, he was proper suit, tie, everything, but never will he miss his tahajjud. He used to read Hizbul Azam, and because he didn't have time, while driving the car, he used to read it, so pabund on deen. One lady, for example, who also I knew, that hairstyle, western hairstyle, and shorts, no trouser, but no tahajjud she will miss. Monday, Thursday, Rosa, she will never miss that condition. But on the other hand, the outside condition is like this. And one is a person Islamic dressed properly. And his ibadat, faras, etc., the essentials are there. Not all the extra. Who is superior? This question comes in the hadith, in Mishkat Sharif also. The Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. One person is that he observes deen. But gunas, and this western lifestyle is a guna. He doesn't stay away from guna, but as far as ibadat is concerned, no sunnats he'll miss, no nafils he will miss, no wazifas he will miss, zikr, all that he's doing, but together the other lifestyle. And one person is doing nothing, lot extra, nafil and wazifas and zikr, but gunas he saves himself. Western or alien lifestyle he saves himself from. Who is better? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one person who observes deen, thousands of those people with all the extras cannot compare with him. And a simple example of this is, like for example, somebody brings zamzam for you. But they bring the zamzam in a castle beer bottle. They cleaned it, everything is clean, it's clean. But the bottle is castle beer. And they bring that zamzam, pure what? Zamzam water. But the container. So the inside deen is right, but the container must also be right. That is also very important. Somebody bring you khajur. And they bring that khajur, Madina Sharif's khajur, ajwa, rutab, best khajurs they bring for you. But they wrap it in that newspaper, that part of the newspaper where filthy women advertise themselves. Where all the filthy women, all those adverts, they bring that khajur, Madina Sharif's khajur, and they wrap it in that part of the newspaper. Or in a cut woman's picture on that paper. So the outside also has to be correct. This is also very, very important. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, ittaqil maharim takun a'bad al-nas. Stay away from guna, alien lifestyle, wrong things, and you will be, you just do the basics, not much ibadat. You sit, you're comfortable, you're resting, you're not making a lot of ibadat and that. But you will be a'bad al-nas, the one who is making the most ibadat. So that is very important, which we don't understand. Our Ramadan, our Umrah, how many brothers, when we used to go in Jamaat at night, they don't sleep, making Salatul Tasbih, one after the other. But lifestyle is not changing. The beard doesn't come right. Namazes are carrying on there. Trouser is not going above the ankle. So the important thing is to get our basics right. That is the most important. Even if we don't do a lot of ibadat, but our basics are in order. But shaitan makes us think that the under things are very important. And the basics we don't look at. So this is very necessary to bring our correct concept of deen to get. And that also, without company of Ahlullah, a person will never get the correct concept of deen. He'll make his own imaginary idea of deen, and from kitabs. And from kitabs, he won't get the correct thing. If a person studies an electrical book, and he reads there of a male socket and a female socket, and he goes and look in a dictionary, what's a male socket? And what's a female socket? What will he do? What will he know about electricity? What will he ever do? So to understand what is meant there, that you need a person who's experienced in that field. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.